I spoke last Sunday morning on the preceding passage. We will read a portion of it, and then we'll pick up where I'll begin today. I'm going to title this sermon, "'Twas the Day After Christmas." I don't know if that is 100% accurate, but it's close to being accurate. So I'm going to talk about "'Twas the Day After Christmas." Let's all stand. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 8. I'm not going to read the whole section, nor am I going to preach the sermon. I'm just going to read the introduction so we pick up with literally, kind of literally, the day after Christmas. Jesus was born. The angels appeared to the shepherds in the middle of the night. Sometime after that, they come and find the baby. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, or behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They feared with a great fear. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This is what I preached last Sunday morning, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior through whom sins are forgiven, Christ by whom the prophecies are fulfilled, and Lord, before whom all human restlessness is resolved. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This morning we'll begin with this. And it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. By the way, 'twas the day after Christmas. This morning's message will be the easiest thing you ever listen to. We'll see how far it goes beyond that. It's not mean. What in the world do you do when you learn something? One of the things I have learned is some of us, when we hear something, he's our Savior, he's the Christ, he's our Lord, we go right back to what we did before. Nothing changes at all. Nothing. So this morning, I'm going to directly address that, but look at me, please, by looking at what the shepherds did. You understand that? What they did. Because that was, after hearing this message, they did something. That's what I want us to see this morning. Verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, well, let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came dragging their feet. No, they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, you know, the whole experience, the whole revelation, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered or marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. By the way, sooner or later, you got to go back to work. Everybody agrees with that? Oh, wait a minute, but work is not separate from Christianity. Hey, I'm waiting. The sad thing is, we play games in church, and then we go to our life, and we wonder why our children go straight to hell. My daughter said something very mean recently. She said, the kids have to come from someplace. A lot of times we can't figure out how these two things fit together. When they went back to shepherding their sheep, guess what? It had changed everything about them. Look what it says. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. 20 days after Christmas. I think that's today, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May I be able to share some very simple ideas. And I think we all just start at the beginning and work our way through the process. Very simple. It's what the shepherds and Mary did with this unbelievable event. Help us to hear, all of us, including me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe it was 1998 or 1999. I spoke in my church in St. Louis on a very simple subject. This was the subject. I was teaching on child rearing. I taught a whole 45 minutes on this subject, one simple subject, loving your children. I don't have to look at my notes. I could preach the whole sermon for 45 minutes right now, right here, from 1999, because it's what I practiced. And that day, I said this: you were to love your children as God loves you. So let's ask this question: how does God love you? Well, first of all, I said it's verbal. He says it. So with your children, at least some of the time, you are to tell your children that you love them. Why? Because God says it to you. Is that fair? Everybody's with me? Is everybody with me? I said, number two, it's visual. Show it. Why? Because how do we know God loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Of course, he demonstrates this by what he does. So with your children, you say it, you show it. Two more points. It needs to be equal. You don't have one child that's the favorite and one that's the less favorite. That's what pagans do. By the way, if in your family, if all of the children, now if you're Aloha, I just want to embarrass you. Are you the favorite child in your family? You absolutely are. It's pretty hard, you know, you only got one. But if you have four children, if the children got together, they should be able, with all honesty, to say this: I'm not sure who the favorite is. Favoritism is of the devil, straight from hell. God loves us equally. Then I talked about God loves us personally. You ever heard these things before? I preached them here too. Verbally, visually, equally, personally. And I talked about what I did. Every night, it's what I did. I never have asked my wife. We've been married for a couple of years now. I never ask her what she did. That's her business. But the kids would come to me. John started as a baby. Amy started as a baby. When they got old enough, they would come in. They didn't always like it, but most of the time they liked it. And it was this simple. Every night, when they were this small, I can still put John's head. No, I can't put his head there anymore. Can't even pick the guy, the big moose, up. But I'd put his head there, and I'd look at his eyes, and I'd say, John, these were my secrets. Personally, I love you. I'm glad I'm your dad. I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad Jesus gave you to me. Started at birth. Now, how can I preach this sermon? This is what I did for the whole time the kids grew up with Amy and John. It's what I did. It was a few weeks later. By the way, I'm coming to you. I am coming to your house. Few weeks, few months, year or two later, talking to a family, sharp family, wealthy family, successful family. I was just talking to the wife and the kids, and the husband was some other place, and the sermon about loving your children came up, and I looked at the wife and said, well, I'm sure that, I'll call his name Bill, I'm sure Bill does something like that with your kids after hearing me preach. I'll never forget the look on her face. Her face got white. She looked down and she said, he never tells his children that he loves them. How? wasn't a big deal. His culture, he would say, well, my family didn't do it. And I would look at you right now. I'm going to say this to you. I don't care about your family. I don't care about your culture. I don't care about your ethnicity. I'm a Christian. That's the Bible. The Word of God dictates what we do. By the way, today, his children hate him, and he and his wife are divorced. I wonder why. Because 'twas the night or the day after Christmas. What do we do now? Well, there's some things that the shepherds did. And I want to say this to all of you, because some of us are very easy. We just sat in church for years and nothing ever matters. You actually have to do things. Now, the sermon's easy. Let's just see what the shepherds did. You don't mind, do you? Look at verse 15. Would you please? I'm going to make these very simple, four simple ideas. Very simple ideas. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So 'twas the night or the day after Christmas. Not the night before, the day after. What do you do? Number one, come and see. Come and see. Whatever you encounter in Christianity, come and see. If we have a special speaker here in 3 months, and that special speaker talks about prayer, come and see. Try to come and figure it out. Get there. Go there. Do it now. There's too much of this attitude of we hear stuff and we just do nothing. Come and see. Their first response was, the angels have announced the Messiah. We'll get around to it next week. We might think about it. No, right now, come and see with haste. I want you to turn to a passage. We're going to come right back here, so don't go too far. Psalm 119. I want to share this with every Christian in this room. If you've never seen the text, Psalm 119, verse 60. I think part of the problem is we're around truth so much and we ignore it so much that we actually think the appropriate thing to do is ignore the Bible. What do you think? Psalm 119, verse 60. The psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Friend, if you start with an attitude that the shepherds have, come and see. Let's go there and look. Let's go there and see what's happened. Let's not wait around. Let's do it now. Let's do it with haste. Let's get on it. Just the very activity of doing it now. So let me just say this. I'm not preaching on child rearing today. You understand that. But if you just heard how to love your children and you think that sounds like the Bible, what do you start doing today? Answer the question. What do you start doing today? You start saying it. You start showing it. You make sure it's equal. And you do it personally. It's what Jesus does for me. Folks, you just do it. There's way too much of this lollygagging around. And we just hear tons of information, tons of preaching, tons of the truth, and nothing. I made haste. Just what the shepherds did. Come and see. An angel came to them with good tidings of great joy for all people. A Savior was born through whom sins are forgiven, by whom the prophecies are fulfilled, before whom all of that stirring inside of the human personality comes to rest. Come and see. Psalm 34. By the way, let's go ahead and look there too. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Would you look there? Psalm 34 and verse 8. The psalmist says this, O taste and what? That the Lord is good. But by the way, what if you never taste? I'm going to say this now, I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to say it again. Christianity has not failed. Christianity has rarely been tried. And I can prove it by talking to people that have been in this church for decades that nothing ever changes. And what, by the way, the shepherds were simple people. They weren't intellectuals. They weren't smart. They weren't educated. They were people that angels said, the Messiah is born. And they said, let's go see. Let's do it now. Let's make haste. Friend, Christianity hasn't failed. It's rarely been tried. I have in my hand something. I don't know if you can see it out there. Let's see here. Let me see if Rolando can see that. Manzanita soul. I still remember the first time I had one of these in a little place in Mexico in the state of Campeche called Ixpujillo. And my wife and I had been in a Maya ruin. You say, how do you remember this? We came back. We were so dumb our first couple times, we didn't carry water with us. We were out in the heat. It was 100 degrees, and you're burning up, and you're out there for hours. We were so thirsty. I came back, and there was a soda machine, and it said, Manzanita Sol, apple. You say, what did you do? I put my money in there, opened that thing. That was the, should I do it now? Why not? I like it. Just listen to this. By the way, if you've ever had one, the first thing you know is smells good like apple. See, how does it taste? Oh, I don't want to taste it. I've never tried that before. My family hasn't tried that. My great-great-great-grandpappy hasn't tried that. Shut up. Come and see. Come and see. Is it good? Yes. The only thing that would make it better, this was on, had some ice. I want to get the full flavor. Hey, if you gargle with it, you get the smell all through your mouth and your nose. Oh, Pastor Warren. By the way, look at me, please. I know the problem in our with some families. I'm not mad at you. You know what I'm mad at? Lost a family recently, and I realize I have not changed one thing they have done. They are cabeza hueca, airheads. Scripture hasn't changed anything. Come and see. Friends, if you don't taste, how do you know if you like it or not? Rolando, 2 weeks ago, or in school, I brought that to one of, now if I bring this to the kids in our school that are from Mexico, first thing that happens, a big old smile, sure, I'll take it. Elizabeth, Vanessa, Neptali, they love it. I brought one and handed it to one of the young ladies that had never had it, and she was like, I said, do you like apple? Yeah, it's apple soda. It tastes like apple. Is it good for you? No. Does it taste good? Yes. Then I actually had to say, open it and try it. Can I say this? This is the beginning of the year. How'd your Bible reading go last year? Come and see. Why do we keep playing around? I don't know if my daughter will remember this. I shouldn't. Years ago, 15 years ago, 20, Amy was a junior. 40 years ago when Amy was a junior. I know you were a junior because you were in the class. I spent about $75 buying ingredients to make a drink from Venezuela called chicha, which just consists a lot of ingredients, but rice is the basic ingredient, and a lot of stuff. And when you get done with it, it's wonderful. It tastes like rice pudding, only better, colder, thicker, richer, wonderful. And I spent my money, brought it to Amy's class, because she was in there, gave everybody, I remember, gave everybody a little cup. And I told them, you don't want to drink too much because this stuff is really filling. But it's wonderful taste. I said, try a little bit. If you don't like it, hey, if you don't like it, that's not a problem. So everybody had a cup, poured a little bit in the cup. Most of the kids, especially the guys, after they had the first swallow they wanted, I had guys had 4 or 5 cups, okay? But there was one girl. By the way, she had never had chicha. She had never seen it. She had never smelled it. She had never touched it. She sat there, and I still remember. And here's the problem. See, I try just, I'm not as bad as him. He will eat anything, including things you don't want to know about. I don't like fish that move. I don't like sushi that still float, you know, moving around. He likes that. But friends, it was everybody in the class is going like this. And I was just joking with her. I said, come on, just try a little bit. I knew if I had to push one more second, she would have cried. Where did she learn it from? Where did she learn it from? Her parents. We don't do anything. By the way, if that's your Christian life is already over. Pray that God takes you to heaven today. Because whatever I preach, you're not going to do. You say, Pastor, I never told my kids I love them. Are they still alive and are you still alive? Start today. Come and see. The day after Christmas, the shepherds got the message. Some people hear it. I still can't believe that someone wouldn't even try this much. You like apple? Just soda. Tastes like apples. I want to say this, and I am being very direct. Christianity has not failed in this church. For many, it's never been tried. You hear and flip it off. Friends, you actually have to start applying Christianity to your life. Quit hearing stuff and moving on. Come and see. Well, we continue. Look, if you would, at verse 19. I said this sermon is very simple. Everybody at the end of the sermon will know exactly what I said. Come and see. That's why, because that's what they did. Number two, well, it's in verse 19. This is not so much them, even though they caused people to do this. This is Mary. After they come to Mary and they talk to her, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I would say this. Here is Christianity in a nutshell. Come and see. Come over. Check it out. God offers you salvation. God offers you forgiveness. God offers you peace with God through His Son. Come and see. Once you get there, stop and think. Stop and think. Learn to think. Now, I already know. Hey, I have women in this church who don't think they're very smart. And I just don't have a good mind. Can I ask you a question? Do you think Mary was a well-educated double PhD? Mary was a country girl. But any country girl knows how to stop and think. So friends, when you hear the Word of God, you hear truth, you hear about a Savior through whom sins are forgiven, you hear about a Lord before whom all of that churning inside goes away because you submit to Him. You follow Him. You don't have to be restless all the time. You start thinking about that. You not only come and see, you stop and think. And the moment you start thinking, you say, you're still not listening. I don't think Mary was a rocket scientist. I think Mary, can I tell you the honest truth, was my mother or my wife's mother. Common women. But I have known many common people that get over all of the games they play to avoid Christianity and just start stopping and thinking. That's all you got to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. If you cannot stop and think, you're not going any place in the Christian life. Folks, the greatest event in human history. See, the part is you're missing the story. Where were all the other people? Some simple shepherds and a simple woman named Mary, which was a common young lady, very young is my guess, didn't even have a husband at that time, not fully, has a baby, and they know how to, hey, come and see, stop and think. Turn your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Friends, I can quote these verses, but quoting them won't help you. These things are things that you have to grab yourself. This is a pastor warnism. The number one problem I face at Lake County Baptist, I have come to realize outside of sin, is this: spinning. It's my language. You know what spinning is? I say to you, you have a child. Start telling that child you love them. And the spinning begins. 5,000 reasons why you can't do that. You've got to learn to do this. Look at me. You've got to learn to stop and think. Because battles are won or lost. We can use different language in the heart, in the mind. The Bible doesn't make distinctions between them like we would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning we're just human folks, you know, flesh and blood, we do not war after the flesh. Otherwise, the Christian life is not about how many guns you have. And I'm not opposed to you having guns. I am an American. I'm not as American as Louis, which is gone. He's out west today. But I am an American. I believe in guns. But friends, the battles we face aren't won or lost with guns. We walk in the flesh. It's normal, you know, we never get out of the flesh. Sorry, I'm not quite as spry as I used to be. I would like to think that I'm still 18, but I'd be kidding myself. I'd like to think I'm still macho. Macho has gone bye-bye. I'm an old geezer. I live in the flesh, but we don't war that way. Well, let's see what it says. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's the same word as flesh. They're not swords, spears, knives, guns, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But where are those strongholds? The strongholds are not some fortress on the side of a mountain. He says, casting down imaginations, the way we reason, that spinning. And every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Friend, the beautiful thing for me is here is a simple woman, Mary, and some simple shepherds. And when this great event happens, they don't lollygag. Does lollygag an English word? I don't know where I learned lollygag from. They didn't mess around. They didn't poke around. They just, with haste, went to see. Come and see. Stop and think. She pondered these things in her heart. She grabbed a hold of them and she thought about them. Friends, over the next year, if you would take, look at me, 10 ideas. I preach Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. If you missed everyone, you got 10 ideas, and you grab them, and you ponder them, you would change your whole environment. You don't have to grasp 5,000 things. It's a few. When you get them, stop and think. Look back at Luke chapter 2, please. I want you to notice the corresponding verses. That are thinking, well, Mary really was a secret nuclear physicist, and she was brilliant. Thank you for saying that. Luke 2:19, notice the language. Mary kept all, and it means to guard or to keep all these things, and pondered. She rolled them around in her heart, in the center of her being, the command and control center. Chapter 2, verse 51, please. Again, talking about Mary. This is talking about Mary years later. Oh, friend, the habits that you start now last a lifetime. All right, everyone look at me. Here's our problem. If you don't get control of these things, you never get control of these things. And I don't have anything specific in mind. But from the text, we know something. Mary, at a young age, could stop and think or ponder or reflect on truth. Later on, 12 years later, the incident in the synagogue has happened, and Jesus was lost for those several days, and all of that. What is Mary's response 12 years later? Glad you ask. Look, if you would, verse 51. He, meaning Jesus, went down with them, meaning Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother did what? The habits that she had developed kept all these sayings in her heart. Luke chapter 1, verse 65. Luke chapter 1 and verse 65. So we have two incidents of Mary. Friends, do you understand? 'Twas the day after Christmas. So you know Jesus is the Savior. May I ask you this? Has your sins been forgiven? You know he's the Christ. Do you understand what that means? You know he is the Lord. Have you submitted to the Lord? Is his will now preeminent in your life? You see, you've got to come and see, stop and think and reflect and reflect and reflect. Now, friends, this isn't Mary. This is some other people. We don't even know their names. Chapter 1, verse 65. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. So this information spread every place. Verse 66. And all they that had heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. You see, friend, now we just have common people stopping and thinking. You say, what do you do the day after Christmas? Here it is. Come and see. Quit the I still remember making a phone call from this church about a Chinese restaurant in Zion. This happened. None of you were involved in it 25 years ago. A restaurant opened in Zion. It was open for 15 minutes. It was a buffet. I went there. I enjoyed the Chinese food. I called back to the office and I said, I just had the greatest Chinese food you've ever had in your life. Oh, it was wonderful. I was bragging, going on, and on the other end of the phone, I was getting nothing. And then the person said, I don't like Chinese food. And then here's Ralph Warren, because, you know, I'm a simple guy. My next question, have you ever tried it? And the answer was, no. Can I tell you something? There is something in us that any time Pastor Warren says anything, we're done. We just check out. We go to sleep. We go bouncing around. You've got to come and see. Look at me. I don't care if you ever drink Manzanita. More for me. Thank you. But I do care about your children. I do care how you read the scripture. I do care how you meditate. I do care how you witness. I do care about your life. You understand? Come and see. Stop and think. We have time. Proverbs chapter 6. Look there, please. A friend of mine that's a pastor, his wife had a book that somebody bought her for Christmas. I'm thinking about buying myself the book, though I don't know if I could ever read it. And you say, what's the book about? The book is How to Become an Expert in Small Talk. You know what small talk is? Talking about nothing. You see the ugly guy you're looking at? Some of you are not going to like me. I get it. Some of you are going to play the little game that, you know, this or that or whatever. But friends, when I was 18, 19 years old, I had a problem with my mind. Males. I had a problem with what went on in my mind. And I knew I had to deal with the mind. And I'll tell you how I had some victory over the mind. You know how it happened? It just happened so simply. I started memorizing the book of Philippians, which was the hardest thing I had ever done in my entire life. Does anybody know why? Because most people's minds bounce. If you want to drive me nuts, bounce. If I get in the car with you and you start saying, I went to that restaurant one time. I went to that grocery. Oh, I'm out of that car. I can't stand bouncing. Look at me, folks, please. You say, why not? My life depended on what I did here and here. And this is the passage that helped me at 18 to 19 years old. I got the book in the office. The book isn't that good. It had that famous phrase, last thought, first thought. The most key part of your day is what you go to bed thinking about intentionally. You tend to wake up thinking about it in the morning. Look at the text, Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them. You know what it means to bind something? Continually. Upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Here's the text. When thou goest, it, meaning those texts, those truths that you have put into your heart, when you make decisions, it, the word of God, shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Have you ever noticed some people can never go to sleep at the right time? Some of it is they can't control their mind, and their mind, you'll hear people say, my mind just races. My first question is, why is your mind racing? Why haven't you learned to control your mind? Why haven't you learned like a razor to bring all that stuff down to and focus on exactly what you need to think about, whatever the scripture says? Why not? Your mind is just bouncing and floating. You say, Pastor, what do you... I'm talking about the scripture, folks. Are you reading it? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, hey, read it! When thou awakest, what? Have you never woken up in the morning and the scripture is speaking to you? What's your Christian life? When do we start? I will tell you this. Memorizing Philippians was the hardest thing I ever did at the time. It did the second benefit of this. When I got done, I had the Philippians memorized. And number two, I knew at that moment, for the rest of my life, Mary, I could control my heart and mind, what I think about. Do you understand that? You say, are you weird? I know. Hold it. You're smart. Oh, shut up. Mary wasn't smart. She was normal. These people were normal. Here it is. Come and see. Stop and think. There's a third concept. Luke chapter 2, verse 17. Luke chapter 2, verse 17. By the way, this sermon is what you do the day after Christmas. You've heard the message. You got the message. Come and see. Stop and think. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, didn't call Jesus an it. It's talking about the whole package. When they had seen what the angel had said was coming, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Here it is. What do you do? Look at me. What do you do after Christmas? Well, first thing is you actually got to get it, so come and see. Secondly, you've got to stop and think. It's got to be central to who you are. Friends, I can't do this, but I'm going to. Too many of our Christianity is like this jacket. I'm going to take it off after church. Christianity has to be who you are, or you won't pass it on to the next generation at all. Thirdly, are you ready? Go and tell. Go and tell. What'd the shepherds do? Look at me. Are you telling me your sins are forgiven? And you can't talk to anybody? Let me give you a small example, because I preached on witnessing to people, and there's folks here that can't even talk to me about being saved. You're telling me you have been forgiven? You have been made God's family? Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I mean, isn't there something in you? But let me give you a simple example. I have in my hand something I keep in, I don't know what you call that little bag with your shaving stuff and what? Hygiene bag. Hygiene bag or hygiene? Okay. I don't know what, I just call it a bag. I have my toothpaste and toothbrush and, you know, all the junk in there. Razors. I also keep a tube of this. I don't think you can quite see this from out there, but this is a very expensive item. Cost 99 cents at Walmart. You say, what is it? Well, years ago, we started going to Mexico. Mexico is very hot and very humid in the jungles where we go. I still remember we were down there one time, and, you know, I'm used to thorns and things like that, but Mexico has some different kinds. The jungles. And you probably remember Tim and Deb were with us. We walked out someplace and I was doing what males shouldn't do. There was a path that you really weren't supposed to go on, and of course there was a path, so I went on it. And I went down the path and there was some kind of a thorn that had a hook, and when you touched that, it hooked in the hardest part of the palm of my hand. I had to extricate that thing. I bled it out and it got infected. I found out when you're in very humid weather, you get infections a lot. Bug bites, mosquito bites. So I found magic at Walmart. This is called triple antibiotic. It costs, are you ready? 99 cents. If you get a bug bite or a scrape that starts to get infected, you just open it up and put a dab on there. Do that for 2 or 3 days. I don't care where you're at, it goes away. So I was in the Philippines one time. 10 years ago, Pastor Doy Elo he'd gotten bug bite, and that thing was this big. I said, man, you need to put some medicine on that. He said, what do you have? And I said, I brought this out, and I said, here, you can have it. I'll go home. I'll get some more at home. I come back the next year. The first thing he asked me, do you have any more of that? I want all of you to look at me. Do you know what I just did? Go. You're telling me that you have been forgiven and you don't know how to talk about being forgiven? I think we got a problem, Houston. You're telling me that you have, how about this? You have experienced the love of God for you? Oh, by the way, none of this fake stuff. I saw it on my Facebook. I love quotes on Facebook. Some of them are good and some of them are stupid. One of them says, about to women, you need to find a guy that loves you just the way you are. I hope no woman ever finds out how evil I am. My wife or daughter won't love me. By the way, Jesus doesn't love you because you are so wonderful. He actually knows you. Did you know that? He knows every sin in your life. And he loves you in Christ. Yes or no? You're telling me I don't know how to talk to people. Recently, one of the families in Davao, I'd given them. Boy, this is a big gift, 99 cents. No joke, sent me a text about a year ago, 6 months ago, sent me a text on Messenger holding this up saying, this is really nice stuff, can you bring some more? Let me ask you, when you put your head on the pillow, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Let me ask you, if you know, you can't talk to anybody about it? Friends, when I'm around bubble-headed people, they talk about food more than anything important. They talk about what they watched on television. Can I tell you something? The shepherds have it simple. Come and see. Stop and think. Go and tell. How do you tell? Have you experienced it? Have you seen it? Have you been born again? Are you part of God's family? Does God love you even though he knows you? Does he love you because of what his son did for you? Do you have the peace of God? Go and tell! How can you not? How many people have I told this week that it was my wife's fault, not mine, of course. But on the day before, the 23rd, was it the 23rd Wednesday? My wife forced me to take my mom and my older sister and her to Arcola, Illinois, to an Amish buffet. She put my arm behind my back. I hated every minute of that experience. Oh, my goodness, why would I like this food? Are you ready? There was potatoes. There was dressing. There was fried chicken. I think I'm going there for lunch. Friend, may I say this to you? We're playing games. Shepherds, this is what they got. Come and see. Stop and think. Make it your own. Go and tell. By the way, if you've seen it, you can talk about it. Anything that's important to you, you talk about to other people. So my guess is, part of our problem is Christianity is not very important to us. And look at me, you don't have to have the Romans Road. Here's what you need to do to be saved. Start with talking about what you have seen and heard and experienced of the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the peace of God. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Luke 2:17 says, and when they had seen it, and by the way, once you get it, you got to make it known. Go and tell. And there's no limit to that. No limit at all. I'll conclude in verse 20, please, of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. By the way, can I ask, is this simple enough for you? Here it is. Are you ready? Come and see. Stop and think. Go and tell. We're at Yoder's. The food's great. The toys are great. When we go there, they sell John Deere tractors, so my grandsons had to get some John Deere stuff. Why? I don't know. But I just wanted them to have some. Go. I like the place. I tell people about the place. Go and tell. Lastly, it's in verse 20. And the shepherds, plural, returned. What were they doing? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. So when they went to work, nothing had changed because they had come. They had come to see. They had already stopped and thought. They had already, gone and told people. And now, number four, join in and rejoice. Your whole life becomes a positive center because of what you have in Christ. It all reflects out of the inner man. It reflects that I'm one of those people that come and see. I'm one of those people who stops and thinks. I'm one of those people who not only does it, I go and tell. I just talk about what I have seen and heard. And then I join in. I join in with others and rejoice. One last verse. I'm just going to read it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Whom, having not seen, we have never got to see the Lord Jesus, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Come and see. Stop and think. Go and tell. Join in and rejoice. In just a moment, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may this be a time of great rejoicing in what we have in Christ. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, if you'll